you have your Bibles tonight, go ahead and begin, if you would, by finding the 20th chapter of the book of Proverbs. Proverbs chapter 20 will be our beginning point this evening as we begin our Bible study, continuing in this series of what does the Bible say about that. And I'm not sure what number of message this is, but I know that we have done quite a few of these, and I'm trusting the Lord to use these messages kind of as helps, kind of as a record or a library for you as we come across certain topics, and you may be able to check on those, or you come up with a question with somebody. And so the Lord has done a lot to teach us certain things about himself, about our lives, and so on. And so we did not have service last week because of the storm, but the week prior to that, we looked at what does the Bible say about lying. Lying is never a comfortable subject with anyone, but we went over what the Bible says about that. The Bible has a lot to say about lying. The Bible has a lot to say about liars. The Bible has a lot to say about who is a liar and who is not a liar. And we came to the understanding and the recognition that we wanted to be men and women that were faithful and true, that our yea was yea and our nay was nay, and that we would be able to be a blessing as we encouraged and lifted one another. We ended the message by looking at our responsibility not to lie to one another within the church, and no wonderful unity about that. And so that was 2 weeks ago. And tonight I want to preach on a subject that I just cannot shake. And so I'm trusting the Lord that this is what he has for us this evening. I tried to shake it, to be honest with you, but I just can't shake it. And it's a word that you may not even know that's in the Bible. Or maybe you do. Maybe you have the privilege of studying this before or so on. My goal tonight is twofold. My goal tonight is for you to be able to recognize when our subject is being used against you. For you to recognize in your daily life. Men, at your job. Ladies, the park, your job, outside the home. When you run into our subject tonight, I want your spiritual spidey sense to buzz like crazy. The second goal I have is for you not to do this to anyone. Not to do this to anyone. And so I want you to recognize when it's done to you. And I want it to kind of repulse you when we have the opportunity to do it to somebody else. And so if you would please, find if you would, in Proverbs chapter 20, verse number 19. The Bible says, "He that goeth about as a talebearer revealeth secrets. Therefore, meddle not with him that," what's that word? "Flattereth with his lips." I want to speak to you tonight on the subject, what does the Bible say about flattery? Flattery. Now, before you turn me off and think this has nothing to do with you, I submit to you that flattery has the opportunity to be lethal in your life. Flattery has the opportunity to do a work in your life. There's a warning here that Solomon gives to his son, and he says, "Now, boy, don't meddle with anybody that flatters you with their lips." By the way, that's where flattery comes out, is from your lips, deals with your speech. Pastor, why would Solomon warn his son about something so simple, so fun, so flirtatious, so innocent as flattery? I was hoping you would think that question. So go, if you would, to the 26th. Chapter of the book of Proverbs, and I would like to read you a verse there, Proverbs chapter 26. Look, if you would, please, at verse number 28. The Bible says, a lying tongue hateth those that are afflicted by it, and a flattering mouth worketh what? Ruin. So Solomon was warning his son about not associating with those that are given to flattery. And the reason that he was warning his son about those that are given to flattery is because Solomon knew that flattery has the ability to do a work of ruin in a person's life. And oh, the depth of that ruin I'm going to show you in a moment. Now, it's Bible study. And those of you that are regular attenders, you understand we go to our Bible a lot. Come, if you would, please, to the 12th Psalm. Psalm number 12. Please turn there. You have to read the verses. They have power. It's God's word. Follow with me in the train of thought. We will come back to the book of Proverbs in just a moment. We'll come back to the second chapter of Proverbs. But I want to show you why Solomon is warning his son against something so innocent and so simple, so flirtatious, as something as flattery. I mean, words are harmless, right? And so Solomon, understanding that it has the ability to do a work of ruin, I want you to see how this work of ruin begins. Look, if you would, please, in verse number 2 of chapter 12. They speak vanity, everyone with his neighbor. With flattering lips and with a double, what? Heart. With a double heart do they speak. A perverse heart. A twisted heart. Flattering lips come from a double heart. Now listen to the pastor. The Bible says, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. Solomon knew that flattery was something that his son needed to avoid. He knew that flattery, when it was finished, would ruin his boy. And he understood that flattery is not innocent. Flattery is not simple. Flattery is purposeful. Flattery comes from a double-heartedness. It does not come from the pure heart. It comes from a twisted vantage point. As I was looking and studying the word flattery, everywhere it's mentioned in the Bible, I never found it to be mentioned positively. I never found it to be mentioned that something a Christian ought to do, and I found it to be mentioned of something that a Christian ought to be aware of. Pastor, well, I mean, I just thought flattery was a compliment. My friends, flattery is not a compliment, and a compliment is not flattery, and please don't get them confused. Let me give you some Bible definitions that I dug out of the Strong's Concordance and others for the word flattery. At the root of the word flattery is the word smooth. Ladies, there was a day when you thought your man was smooth. Now he's slush, okay? Smooth. It really carries with it the idea of, if you could picture a very smooth stone, and the stones that they would use, that they would throw like a dice, and they would kind of gamble or cast lots for these, and you wanted that smooth stone so you could manipulate your seven when you needed, or manipulate your stone when you needed it to be. It's a smooth as a stone, and that stone was used to separate. It carries with it the idea of a slipperiness. You could put in there the word divisive. Flattery is designed to divide. Don't forget that. It's a treacherous way. Slippery and treacherous. It carries with it the idea of the ability to open or to make room. If you flatter something, it's an insincere praise. It comes from a double heart that's designed to open and to make a little room in a sinister way. Now, here's where it differs from a compliment, because everybody enjoys a compliment. Amen. The pastor enjoys a compliment. The last thing I want you to do is think that when you tell me I did a good job, that's flattery. Don't do that. That's a compliment. Okay? So here's what flattery is designed to do. Allure. When you flatter someone, you're trying to allure them to a place that Webster said that you would applaud or that they would find favorable notice by respectful attention, somehow to exalt or estimate or to confirm somebody's own opinion of themselves. And so you're trying to allure, to kind of make room in a sinister way to exalt yourself. It carries with the idea of deception, persuasion, and enticement. The one commentator said it's a silly one, a silly one. Somebody who flatters a lot is a silly person. I want you to understand that someone who tells you you're better than you really are is not your friend. Flattery tells you you're better than you really are. Case in point, I had not been the pastor here very long. Maybe about 18 months, a man showed up, very respectful lawyer in our community. I did not know who he was. I did not know the fame he had in our community. He came to our church and began to reach out to me and began to lavish upon me. Took me to dinner, made sure I knew when he put thousands of dollars in the offering plate, came up, handed it to me, made sure that it was all done in this and so on and so forth. I would go to lunch with the man and he would say something like this: "You're such a good preacher. You're better than even the radio preachers." Now listen, I listen to the radio. I'm sitting there thinking, you're full of garbage. And boy, he inflated and inflated and inflated. But I had heard that verse about being careful about the one that flatters. Come to find out, he was agended, and he wanted a position within our church, and he offered a lot to get that position. Praise the Lord, the Bible said, lay hands on no man suddenly. And so I didn't lay hands on him suddenly. And one day I called him and said, "Hey, where'd you go?" And he let me have it with both barrels, and he never came back. But I realized I was being flatterily appealed to. Somebody tells you you're better than you really are, your spidey sense needs to go up. Because truth be told, we're sinners saved by grace. Okay. Now that you kind of understand what flattery is designed to do, and the allure and the deception, and to make room for oneself, it's a sinister move. Let me show you why you need to know when it's happening to you, and every man in the room had better pay attention. Go to Proverbs chapter 2. Proverbs chapter 2. Look, if you would, please, at verse number 16. Solomon writing here, again reminding his son while he wrote the book of Proverbs. When you get to verse number 16, he's talking about, in verse number 10, wisdom entering in your heart, discretion that will keep thee, in verse number 11. Verse number 12, it talks about to deliver. Verse 16, he picks back up on this thought of deliverance. And he says, to deliver thee from the strange woman, even from the stranger which flattereth with her words. which forsaketh the guide of her youth and forgetteth the covenant of her God. For her house inclineth unto death, and her paths unto the dead. Flip to chapter 6, if you would, please. Please look, if you would, at verse number 20. My son, keep thy father's commandment, forsake not the law of thy mother. Bind them continually upon thine heart, and tie them about thy neck. When thou goest, it shall lead thee. When thou sleepest, it shall keep thee. And when thou awakest, it shall talk with thee. For the commandment is a lamp, and the law is light, and the reproofs of instruction are the way of life. To keep thee from the evil woman, from the flattery of the tongue of a strange woman. Now, ladies, don't get all bent out of shape. You're targeted here, but you're not strange women. I'm trying to help the men. Verse 25. Lust not after her beauty in thine heart, neither let her take thee with her eyelids. For by means of a whorish woman, a man is brought to a piece of bread, the adulteress will hunt for the precious life. Can a man take fire in his bosom and his clothes not be burned? Can one go upon hot coals and his feet not be burned? So he that goeth into his neighbor's wife, whosoever toucheth her shall not be innocent. Men, do not despise a thief if he steal to satisfy his soul when he is hungry. But if he be found, he shall restore sevenfold. He shall give all the substance of his house. But whoso committeth, what's that word? Adultery with a woman lacketh understanding. He that doeth it destroys his own soul. A wound and an honor and a dishonor shall he get. His reproach shall not be wiped away. Jealousy is the rage of a man, therefore he will not spare in the day of vengeance. He will not regard any ransom, neither will he rest content, though thou givest many gifts. Solomon said, son, I want to protect you from the woman who's flattering you with her tongue, who's winning you with her eyelids. Would you please go to chapter number 7? It continues in chapter number 7. Look, if you would, at verse number 4. Say unto wisdom, thou art my sister. Call understanding thy kinswoman, that they may keep thee from the strange woman, from the stranger which flattereth with her words. Look at verse number 21. With her much fair speech, she caused him to yield, talking about an immoral relationship. With the flattering of her lips, she forced him. Verse number 25, let not thine heart decline to her ways. Go not astray in her paths. For she hath cast down many wounded, yea, many strong men have been slain by her. Her house is the way to what, class? To hell, going down to the chambers of death. Men, flattery, it's not innocent, it's not flirtatious, it's not simple. It comes from a double-hearted woman with an agenda. Ladies, I want to say a couple things about men, and I want you to not laugh. Men are pigs. You can laugh. We can be dumb. But there's not a man born that doesn't know how to manipulate a woman with his words. There's not a man that doesn't know how to manipulate a woman with his words. Well, it doesn't work on me. It will work on somebody. And so I'm finding, as I pastor people, that marriages are being destroyed and men and women are committing adultery. And there is a highway that begins with flattery words. To have the power, Solomon said, for a woman to force a man with her words. So we need to be very, very, very careful about what we are entertaining in our mind. Also, in the marriage relationship, we need to be loving on one another with our words. Okay? So don't sit there and think, well, this isn't for me. There's a lot of strong men. That's what he said. A lot of strong men. She hath cast down many wounded. Yea, many strong men have been slain by her. Entertaining flattery words. Men, if a woman is saying to you things that only your wife ought to be saying to you, your antenna and spidey sense had better go up. If a woman is telling you you're better than you really are, you better understand they have an agenda. Ladies, men are not stupid. Men can tell when a woman is down. Men can tell how to lift a woman with their words. Men can make a woman feel beautiful and precious and needed with their words. But they can have an agenda. And if you think I'm wrong, thus saith the Lord. Okay? So we need to be a little bit aware of what kind of words we're entertaining. Maybe you're at work right now and you've got somebody that's saying good things to you and it feels so good. You're in trouble, man. You're in trouble. Lady, you're in trouble. That's one of the works of ruin that flattery can do. Look, if you would, please, at Proverbs chapter 29, verse number 5. Proverbs 29, verse number 5. The Bible says that a man that flattereth his neighbor spreadeth a net for his feet. So not only does flattery have the ability to lead you down a sinful course of fleshly sin, it also has the ability to weaken your understanding. It has an ability to distract you. It also has the ability for somebody to lay a trap for you. That's why you need the Word of God. That's why our communication needs to be filled with the Word of God. A man that flattereth his neighbor. Now, what is flattery? It's insincere praise. It's a sinister way of opening up an opportunity to exalt oneself. It's not a compliment. And so as that is working, it lays a net or a trap in some way. And we need to be careful. We need to be spirit-filled. We need to walk circumspectly. A powerful work of ruin that's done is located in the 36th Psalm. Please go to Psalm 36, because I think this is one of the most dangerous works of ruin that flattery has the ability to do in our lives. Verse number 1. The transgression of the wicked saith within my heart that there's no fear of God before his eyes. Now watch this. For he flattereth who, class? Himself. In his own eyes. Until his iniquity be found to be hateful. The words of his mouth are iniquity and deceit. He hath left off to be wise and to do good. He deviseth mischief upon his bed. He setteth himself in a way that is not good. He abhorreth not evil. Look, if you would, at verse number 12. There are the workers of iniquity fallen. They are cast down and shall not be able to rise. One of the descriptions and one of the dangers of the wicked is that they position themselves in a judgmental position because they flatter with themselves. They heap praise upon themselves. They exalt themselves. They're flattered or exalted in their own eyes. If another, the Bible talks about praise, it says let another man praise you, but it also talks about letting all your praise go to the Lord. It's one thing for somebody else to tell you you're better than you really are. It's another thing for us to think we are better than we really are. And in our mind, we flatter ourselves and we exalt ourselves and we lift ourselves to the point where we are not walking in humility with the Lord. One of the ways you know you're flattering yourself is you don't hear any other message. You don't hear any other word, just what a person thinks. The person who flatters themselves is a person who lives in a slippery, treacherous path. Because the Bible has a lot to say about our lives. Amen? Okay. There's another work of ruin in Psalm 78. We're almost done. Psalm 78. I'd like you to go there, please. This one is a tremendous work of ruin that happens in the life of people. This happened in the life of the nation of Israel. And in the nation of Israel here, the psalmist is going over the patience of God and the blessing of God. Pick up, if you would, please. Let's just pick up verse 32. For all this they sinned still and believed not for his wondrous works. Therefore their days did he consume in vanity and their years in trouble. When he slew them, then they sought him. Speaking of God's judgment against them, then they humbled themselves. And then they returned and inquired early after God. They remembered that God was their rock and the high God their redeemer. Nevertheless, they did, what's the word? Flatter him. Who's the him? God. They flattered God with their mouth. And they lied unto him with their tongues. Their heart was not right with him. Neither were they steadfast in his covenant. But he, praise the Lord, being full of compassion, forgave their iniquity, destroyed them not. Yea, many a time turned he in his anger away and did not stir up all his wrath. For he remembered that they were but flesh, a wind that passeth away and cometh not again. How oft did they provoke him in the wilderness and grieve him in the desert? Yea, they turned back and tempted God and limited the Holy One of Israel. The nation of Israel even flattered God with their mouth. So what does that mean? They gave him insincere praise. They were smooth in their approach to God. They tried to use words to open or make room for their own direction. They tried to deceive and persuade and entice and to act silly. And they flattered God. And the Bible says that they flattered him with their mouth. And they lied unto him with their tongues. You know, man looketh on the outward appearance, but God looks on the what? On the heart. The psalmist said, flattery comes from a double heart. Now, James taught us that a double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. So whenever you have a doubleness there, you have a difficulty. And so, insincere praise and words that are designed to open up an opportunity for you, even with God, the human nature has the ability to even try to flatter God. You know, I think about that and I think, what a mighty God we serve. Aren't you glad for God's patience? I mean, God knows everything you think, everything that you are, and he still loves us. Praise God. He died for me. Praise God. Flattery is not innocent. You need to reckon when it's happening to you because it has the ability to work ruin in your life. And the last thing you want to do is not have your yea be yea and your nay be nay. I'll close back in Psalm 12. I'll just read it to you. Would you please go back there and we'll be finished. Psalm chapter 12. This is what God said he would do to the flattering lip. Look, if you would please, at verse number 1. The cry comes out, help, Lord, for the godly man ceaseth, for the faithful fail from among the children of men. They speak vanity, everyone with his neighbor. With flattering lips and with a double heart do they speak. Verse number 3. The Lord shall cut off all, what class? flattering lips. There will be a day when the flattering lips are going to be called to order by the Lord. For he'll cut off all flattering lips and the tongue that speaketh proud things, who have said, with our tongue we will we prevail. Our lips are our own. Who is Lord over us? For the oppression of the poor, for the sighing of the needy. This is what flattery does, to cover the oppression and the sighing of the needy. Now will I arise, saith the Lord. I will set him in safety from him that, what's that word? Puffeth at him. And God says, I'm going to take the one that has been accused, has been the result of flattery, and I'm going to protect the righteous. But I'm going to deal with the flattering person. I'm going to deal with that double heart. The words of the Lord are pure words. We know this for the word of God. Silver tried in a furnace of earth, purified seven times. Thou shalt keep them, O Lord. Thou shalt preserve them from this generation forever. The wicked walk on every side when the vilest men are exalted. There will be a day when flattery will be called on the carpet. Let me just conclude this message. My heart tonight is for God's child to understand and be sensitive to when flattery is being used against you. There is the difference between flattery and a compliment. A compliment has no agenda except to lift the person being given the compliment. If you're giving the compliment, you give it from a position of humility. You give it from a position of honesty. You give it as from a position to where God is honored and praised. Nothing in return. Purely putting it upon that person and lifting and exalting them. Flattery says this: I want to take advantage of you, and I need to move you with insincere praise so my sinister agenda can be done. I need to allure and deceive you over here, but when you least expect it, I'll unleash those words. There'll be a treacherous, slippery slope. I submit to you, a Christian ought not to be involved in that. Know when it's happening to you. Solomon was worried about his boy committing adultery. And he knew that there would be people on the hunt. We live in a society today, male and female, that are on the hunt for immorality. And many strong men and many strong women have been slain by that because they didn't pay attention to the flattery. And then, if you have a heart to know God, God knows when we use flattery to get our way. He'll call that on the carpet. Let your yea be yea and your nay be nay. Your word ought to mean something to you. It ought to be pure. It ought to be righteous. And it ought to be something that comes from a pure heart. And God's people said, all right, let's have our prayer.